Truckers, welcome to a brand spanking shiny ass new edition of the Hollywood Hick. This here is me, Brent Paris, the Hollywood Hick, coming at all y'all from Hollywood, California, just up from Hollywood Boulevard, sitting in the Florida Room, which is spitting distance from the most famous to intersections anywhere, Hollywood and Vine, y'all. You're listening to me here on the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com. Throw a / listen behind that, y'all. You can hear all the fabulous programming as it's happening. Hollywood Hick here comes on every day on the 7th, meaning 7 in the morning, 7 in the evening, West Coast time. That'd be 10 East Coast, do the math, wherever the else you are. We also have the previous episode that's up and running at midnight here on the Crab Diving Network. So don't, if you missed out, you can still catch it there. Or you know what your bitch ass can do? You can download a podcast right off of iTunes, the Crab Diving website, Stitcher. But here's the requirement. Give a mother trucker 5 stars because it makes me look good and I like to look good. It's the homo gene. We like to look good, right? What else is going on? Follow me on the Twitters at the H Wood Hick. Also follow the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheHollywoodHick. And I think that's all the particulars right now. I don't know what else. All I know is it's not humid terribly at the moment in Hollywood, but I listen to the news people and the weather people. That shit is about to change. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep my jovial mood for long. Because apparently, humidity makes a hick ornery as hell. And I just can't take things. Like, I have an issue, which I talk about all the time with people who can dish it out and can't take it. I also don't understand why, if you let somebody know they're being an asshole, that all of a sudden makes you the asshole. Did you know that? If you tell an asshole, hey, dude, you're being an asshole, knock it off. That somehow, apparently to Los Angeles mentalities and Hollywood mentalities, that makes me the asshole. I can't wrap my brain around that. I just really and truly cannot do it. It just don't work. I don't understand, because you're still a freaking asshole. And I know I'm not. I know I can be an asshole, but that in particular instance, hell to the no, to quote my girl Whitney. Oh, speaking of Whitney, let's just get into it. I didn't even mean to get into it like that, but we're just going to keep it and keep on trucking. But I don't know if all of y'all have been paying attention to the same things I pay attention to all the time. I've been reporting on this, updating it throughout the Hollywood Hick for months now. But it is really sad, and I'm very sorry to report that Bobby Christina Brown, Whitney Houston, and Bobby Brown's daughter, who was found face down in the bathtub several months ago, has finally passed away. She was in hospice in Georgia and I think outside of Atlanta. And she finally did pass away, hopefully with some dignity. It seemed like they did everything they could to sort of give it is like a dignifying, I don't know if it's send off, I don't even know what kind of word you use, but to just like to try to keep the circus away and all of that kind of stuff. Because poor thing, I mean, this poor child never stood a chance. It just seems like, especially once the time, from the time Whitney passed away, you know, she just did not stand a chance. Like, she's like born into all this scrutiny, you know, like media scrutiny. She had to come up at like a 13 years old on a reality program. Now, do any of y'all remember what you looked like at 13? You were awkward as hell. That's that period where you're changing from child into like adult type person. So everybody's kind of weird and awkward looking, and you're sort of, you still got childlike sensibilities, but you want to be an adult at the same time. Like, I remember that time. Like, I wanted so bad to be an adult. Because honestly, the Hollywood Hick took up drinking at 13, which is a horrible thing to say. Like, do not, I am a cautionary tale, people. I'm not telling you should do it. I'm just saying it's what I did because there wasn't anything else to do where I grew up and everybody was doing it. And so I did what I thought was appropriate. And apparently I ain't looked back since, and I don't plan on looking back anytime soon. Me and the liquor booths have a very symbiotic relationship. We like each other. We get along just fine most times. Sometimes they like actually make me and we'll have more fun than I should really be entitled to. And then that's when people get in trouble. Whatever. We'll talk about that later. But what it boils down to is a lot of times my idea of a good time and the police's idea of a good time do not jive. And guess who thinks they win? You can do that math, I am sure. But back to Bobby Christina. So this whole thing, like as soon as I heard that she had passed away, I was like, oh, that Nick Gordon is in trouble now. Like, you know, that one that was kind of like taken in by Whitney and sort of raised, like they had like a brother-sister relationship. And then as soon as Whitney passed away, he became her boyfriend, and then they tried to say they were husband and wife for a hot minute, and then come to find out they were never really married. And apparently it was an abusive type relationship, but a lot of it is speculation and hearsay and this and that, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But apparently, but the reason it sounds suspicious is, according to Bobby Christina's friends, that she was going to leave him, move out to Los Angeles, and try to like start over, become like a starlet of some sort, get a music career going, all that kind of stuff with one of her really good friends. Apparently he didn't like that. Apparently there's a big old argument, and then that is when she was found in the tub. But now that she has passed away, see, like when she first passed away, I was like, uh-oh, they're gonna charge his ass with murder stat, because you keep hearing these reports that she had bruising on her face and was missing a tooth. Now, it's hard to tell if that's true, because if you look on here, like according to the TMZ people, they told us that now it's a homicide investigation. That's basically what it broke down. They're officially turning into a homicide investigation, but then they did an autopsy. And I thought autopsies took a while. Like usually they say it'll be 2 or 3 weeks before we give you anything back. Well, this one, they're already saying autopsy shows no evidence of foul play. So now that's interesting, and I guess would support Nick. Like, honestly, this is the thing. Up until just very, very recently, after I saw this new evidence, which makes me question everything that I thought I had like deduced by all of this. Like, I put on my Encyclopedia Brown Nancy Drew Hardy Boys hat, right? And was like trying to like play amateur detective and figure out, read between the lines. And I was like, that's why I was telling myself, you know, that is why he was so freaked out. Not just because he lost the supposed love of his life, but because there was foul play involved, and anybody who was involved in that and something so high profile realistically would get a little bit freaked out, right? I know I would. I would be like, oh no, I'd be hand wringing, sweating, drinking and drugging too, trying to forget what's going on, and then go on Dr. Phil program and make a complete blithering idiot ass of myself as I like going through this whole thing. But apparently the autopsy shows no evidence of foul play. And it says there's, according to the TMZ people, because you know that's where the Hollywood hit gets a lot of his like news from, because whatever reason, they scoop most bitches anyway, so if I want to get it first, I go to the TMZ. But apparently there's no obvious sign someone tried to kill Bobby Christina, and according to the Fulton County Medical Examiner, the autopsy shows no obvious underlying cause of death. No significant injuries were noted. So basically that could help Nick Gordon, who has been under police microscope from the get-go, because you know, like Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston's family, Sissy and her sister-in-law Pat and all of them were like, hail to the no, keep that boy out of here. Anytime he was screaming, if she heard my voice, she would wake up, which was not going to happen. But the medical examiner says he has subpoenaed medical records, presumably from the hospital, to determine if drug testing after the accident was relevant. Gordon has said both he and Bobby Christina had been doing drugs and she took too much. And the other next thing is, then the next thing to come out is apparently she had a bad habit of falling asleep in a bathtub after she got wasted. Like, I guess that was like her way of unwinding. She would get wasted and go lay in a bathtub. And if you believe some of the stories I've read, really, it's on the internet. I have no reason to not believe it because I'm the Hollywood hick and I just choose to. Although I am skeptical of some things, but this just kind of makes a little bit of sense. But and I do remember her going to the hospital after Whitney died. But apparently she had a bad habit of doing that. But apparently, according to TMZ, now they're saying Bobby Christina got extremely drunk the night before her mom died, fell asleep in a bathtub at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, and flooded the room. And that could be critical evidence in the homicide investigation because it shows like a pattern. But the law enforcement people tell TMZ Bobby was partying with Whitney Houston at the Beverly Hilton bar and got drunk and unruly. So she's 22 now. Like, she was still under 8. Like, Whitney, you should not have been partying with your daughter. That is a bad influence. But whatever, that's beside here, neither here nor there now, right? But apparently Bobby Christina went up to her room, drew a bath, and fell asleep in the tub, wasterated, right? By the time she woke up, there was water everywhere. And this is the other thing. Do you know who Nick Gordon's lawyer is? Do y'all know who Nick Gordon's lawyer is? The same Jose Baez that got Casey Anthony off of murdering her kid down in Florida, y'all. I ain't kidding. And I think he also is the dude. Didn't he end up working for Zimmerman for this dude? Like, I don't know. I would not hire that dude just for the simple fact that half the people out there are going to think you shady just because you hired that fool. But he reps Bobby's boyfriend, Nick Gordon, who knows about the incidents and will use it to convince prosecutors Nick did nothing wrong, that she simply took too many drugs and did the same thing she did at the hotel with fatal results. We've also learned the night Whitney Houston was found dead in her tub, Bobby Christina was rushed to the the hospital for acute alcohol poisoning. Whitney's PR team said it was for exhaustion, but law enforcement tell us it was excessive alcohol consumption. It's relevant, especially in the light of the medical examiner's preliminary autopsy report, which reveals no obvious evidence of foul play. Like, now, I was convinced this Nick Gordon had something to do with it. Now, not so much that this stuff come out. But I'm kind of glad to know that he did not. That is a very good possibility now that he did not have something to do with it, because that would have been some seriously jacked up stuff. Like, that was, that's like beyond Lifetime movie craziness bullshit. You know what I mean? This whole story is sad as hell. What else gonna like? Like, I mean, and Bobby's really upset. I mean, everybody's really upset. It's really sad. And the thing is, like, it, but it's like, people are all wondering too, like, what is going to happen to Whitney Houston's money or whatever. But apparently Bobby Christina had only gotten a tenth of it. Like, she had to be, I think it was 35 or something before she got the whole thing. I'm looking for the article that tells me what that is. But of course, in true form, I cannot find where I put it. So I'm sitting here freaking swiping through this thing, trying to find where I put down this article about where, here's where the fortune goes. This is it. See, I should be more prepared, but I'm not. And of course, it's one of those where then I got to punch something else. But from what I can remember until this article comes up, it's just, she has gotten, she's received 10% of it. And like, it was like $22 million or something at the time Whitney died. And I'm sure it has to have grown, because like, her stuff, I mean, whenever somebody big like that passes away, all their stuff like goes through the roof. Like, what happened with Michael Jackson? He couldn't sell shit before he died. And now all of a sudden, everybody loves Michael Jackson again, you know? But now, but like, and then I remember looking at iTunes and everything, all her stuff went through the roof. So there had to be like a surge. And like, I Will Always Love You, I'm sure Dolly Parton doesn't get all the money from that. Although she should, because she's the greatest human being to ever live, ever, ever. But according to this, Bobby Christina was set to get at least $20 million when Whitney Houston died, but there were strings, right? So the money's like all kind of caught up. According to Whitney's will, which established a trust in which Bobby Christina got one-tenth, see, of the estate when she turned 21. So she just got that last year, right? She was set to get a sixth of the balance when she turned 25, but that ain't going to happen because she was 22 when she passed away, right? But Whitney's will was pretty much provided with, like, if this, if anything happened to Bobby Christina and it didn't go, this things, there were places for it to go. Like, Whitney, wasn't Whitney, her lawyers set it up so that it would not go to, like, who it shouldn't go to. But it, the will provided that if Bobby Christina died before reaching 25, all the money would go to the people Whitney designated. Basically, it meant, basically, 9/10 of that money is going to her mother, Sissy, and brothers, Michael and Gary. They say they're going to give Bobby Brown a cut, but there's an issue because it's still said in the will that her husband, Bobby Brown, and since he wasn't her husband when she passed away technically anymore, then that throws like a monkey wrench in there. But Bobby could see a little bit of it, but it sounds like mostly her mama and brother and sister-in-law are going to get the bulk of that money's coming from Whitney Houston. So, nuts. This whole story is sad. I ain't going to talk about it anymore because it just breaks my heart. I need to return to rainbows, sparkles, glitter, and sunshine and Dolly Parton feelings inside, because this is really sad. And from the beginning, it was sad. Like, as soon as it happened, I was like, this is going to be nuts. This is nuts. I mean, it's too similar to what happened to her mama. Then you come to find out all this other stuff, the abusive relationship, and it may not be what they purported it to be, and she wasn't exactly happy. And then this Nick Gordon dude being just straight up nuts, and then going on Dr. Phil and acting even more nutty. The whole thing. So it's sad. I feel bad for Bobby Brown. I hope he is doing good. I hope he's got people around him helping him get through this, because it sucks when somebody, especially somebody so young and it's your kid, that can't be. That can't, I mean, I don't even know. Like, I've lost my parents, but I'm like, I have no children to lose. Like, I could, like, I've lost pets and I'm like beside myself. I couldn't imagine a child. So prayers, good energies, whatever it is that you send out to people, send out a little bit of that to our good friends over at in Atlanta who are dealing with the passing of their friend, child, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Y'all get my point. I'm not good at all this sentimental stuff, but I'm saying send your good energies. Whatever. If you pray, pray. If you send good energies, send good energies. They can use it. They've been through a lot of crap. And that's just what I'm talking about. So let's move on. Let's move on to something else that'll just like, well, let's move to something else that'll just warm your heart. Like our good buddy, the Donald. This dude, actually, this time, it ain't really him. It is, but it ain't. You know what I mean? But this whole thing came out, like, because, you know, he's like everybody's, because to everybody's surprise, he's a front runner right now for the GOP nomination for president, which is nuts, completely nuts. People just love a blowhard, apparently, and a loudmouth bully, because that's what he is. He's just coming across to me as a blowhard, loudmouth bully, right? And he, and this is the other thing. He is a perfect example poster child. Donald Trump is the poster child. And I would say this to his bloated, pumpkin head looking, mangy fox haired looking self. I would say it right to his face without even missing a beat. But you are a freaking blowhard who can dish it out and can't take it. Because anytime anybody tries to say anything to him, or he gets so incredibly butthurt. Like, you can just see, like, you can just watch the red anger rise through his body and then overtakes his head and it goes until the steam busts out of his ears because he can't take it anymore. He's such a freaking asshole when it comes to that. He can dish it out, but he can't take it. And apparently, the same can be said for his lawyers, who are mouth-breathing morons and idiot people, right? Because that website, it's a website and maybe a magazine, I don't know. But the website Daily Beast wanted to write about that. There's an allegation in a book that came out about Trump back in 1993. And the Trump biography called The Lost Tycoon by this dude named Harry Hurt III, right? And there's a passage in there where he had talked to Ivana Trump, or to people involved in whatever. There was an incident where basically Donald went a little bit crazy on Ivana Trump when they were married because he had used her plastic surgeon to get some hair plugs and they were hurting more than he thought they should. So he blamed her for sending him to this plastic surgeon dude, and apparently, like, threw her on the bed, like, started pulling at her hair to make her hurt, like, her head hurt like his, choked her out some, if I remember the story right, and then basically sort of, depending on, and, like, whatever. And Ivana has, like, backtracked on this story. But the story then said, and then he basically marital raped her, which is raped her, like, took advantage, like, just forced himself on her, right? Because, and according to the thing that read, I think it was, like, 16 months since they had had sexy times or whatever. And I think her words were like she felt more emotionally raped or whatever. I'm trying to find the freaking quote. Oh, here it is. Here it is. That one night in 1989, Ivana claimed that Trump went insane on her after getting a painful scalp reduction surgery to remove a bald spot. Ivana once used the same plastic surgeon that Trump used to get his bald spot removed, so he blamed her and freaked out on her. Trump pulled out fistfuls of hair from her scalp and forced her to have sex. Ivana said it was a violent assault. Ivana later said she didn't mean she was raped in the literal sense, but basically it ended up in the book and blah, blah, blah. So then this dude from the Daily Beast found, like, came across it, and he's like, hey, this is the dude yelling at Mexicans, telling them that Mexico is sending their rapists and horrible people up over the border. So if you're going to point the finger at somebody for being a rapist, you have also been accused of this shit to a certain degree. So maybe we need to, like, let people know about this, because it's in a book that is your freaking biography from 1993. So it's not like he dug up some super secret information that didn't nobody have. But Donald Trump has this lawyer. Now, he ain't, from what I understand, a part of the political side of his what's going on right now. But he, like, handles a lot of his business sort of stuff, right? But this dude is a complete, he should be working for Donald Trump, because he's a hothead idiot boy who doesn't know how to hold his tongue and can't even, he's a lawyer who doesn't know the law. It's like him and Megyn Kelly should start a club. Megyn Kelly and him should start a club for people who are professionals who don't know how to do their freaking job right, when it's really easy, especially when it's a high profile job like Megyn Kelly, who couldn't do the research to find out that the Duggar reports were legally obtained because she repeatedly libeled these people, as far as I'm concerned, by saying that things were done illegally when they were not. And if I was them, I would have totally held her accountable for it and, like, made her have to freaking do some sort of crow eating at the very minimum. But aside from that, this Michael Cohen dude, he basically said that you can't rape your spouse. That was one of the things but since 1984, it's pretty much been, yeah, you can, in every 50 state. So if you're a lawyer and you want to talk about this shit, you should at least know what the hell you're talking about. But according to this dude from the Daily Beast, basically called up the dude and was, like, trying to, like, talk to him about it, like, whatever. Or this lawyer contacted him, I guess, or whatever. I don't know. Somehow they came across each other. And this lawyer dude went nuts. So here's the quote that they wrote, put in the Daily Beast, from this dude. He says, you're talking about the front runner for the GOP, presidential candidate, as well as the private individual who never raped anybody. We don't know that for sure, because in that book, it says he did, even though it was taken back. You know, sometimes people will say something and then take it back, even though the original statement was true. So we don't know. It's in a book. That's what he's going by. He's like, and of course, you understand that by the very definition. Okay, this is the part I love. And of course, understand that by the very definition, you can't rape your spouse. It is true. You cannot rape your spouse. And there's very clear case law. Actually, there's very clear case law that says since 1984, we fucked that part up. And yes, your spouse can be raped. If your spouse is saying no, because we're not getting along right now, and no, you are not going to have sexy times with me, man or woman, and you force yourself on them, that is rape. That's just how it works. It's like this word consent that people just don't seem to be able to wrap their brain around that kills me. But he goes, oh, he gets even worse. He goes, I will make sure that you, and it, like, honestly, whenever I read this and hear it, I hear it in Trump's voice, which makes it even funnier to me, right? He goes, I will make sure that you and I meet one day while we're in the courthouse, and I will take you for every penny you still don't have. And I will come after your daily beast and everything else that you possibly know. So I'm warning you, tread very fucking lightly, because what I'm going to do to you is going to be fucking disgusting. You understand me? Okay. Now, if that is not the definition of butthurt, when somebody turns around and accuses you of exactly what you accuse an entire population of doing, he accused one person. You accuse your boss, and you, by supporting him, have accused an entire country of being rapists and sending those rapists to other countries to do their raping. Now, if that's not dishing it out and can't take it, I don't know what the fucking definition of that shit is. But he goes on, it ain't over. He goes, you write a story that has Mr. Trump's name in it with the word rape, and I'm going to mess up your life. Every reporter freaking everywhere has been writing stories with Mr. Trump's name and rape in it, because he keeps using the word rape and telling everybody that Mexico is sending their rapists to freaking America. So what are you trying to prove here? Like, if you use, like, I could write a ton of stories with Mr. Trump's name and the word rape in it, and you wouldn't have a fucking leg to stand on, because I would be citing the book that is a biography of the dude where it is told that this is the story of what happened. Maybe it's been already retracted by the person who did it because it was not in her best interest, because also Trump has it as a thing where she can't say shit about that divorce anyway without getting his explicit permission first. So all this confidentiality crap only makes me believe that you had shit to hide that you didn't want people to know. And so, yes, I believe this because of that, because you don't want to have open transparency when you want everybody else to have it, but you think you're the one exception to the fucking rule. It don't work that way. But he goes, he said, you write a story that has Mr. Trump's name in it with the word rape, and I'm going to mess up your life. For as long as you're on this freaking planet, you're going to have to you're going to have judgments against you. So much money, you'll never know how to get out from underneath it. And he continues, he goes, though there's many literal senses to the word, if you distort it and you put Mr. Trump's name there into it, rest assured you will suffer the consequences. So you do whatever you want. You want to ruin your life at the age of 20, you do that, and I'll be happy to serve it right to you. I think you should go ahead and you should write the story that you plan on writing. And he did. I think you should do it, because I think you're an idiot. I think your paper's a joke, and it's going to be my absolute pleasure to serve you with a $500 million lawsuit, like I told you I did to Univision. And that's what he said. So that was his, like, response to this dude. And then Ivana came out saying the story's without merit, although that's what she told him back then, and now she's taking it back. She says that he'd make an excellent president, which means I no longer think Ivana Trump has one brain cell that fucking fires in any kind of way. I don't know, I was trying to think of a bigger word, and I couldn't come up with it. But if you look up a picture of this Michael Cohen dude, he looks like just like this bougie-ass, honky, just like a chip off the Trump block, gross, right? Well, guess what? After all this done came out, guess who came out on his apology tour, all Bieber style, after being a freaking asshole, mouth-breathing moron? Dude comes up and farts up his explanation to the CNN people. And while talking to the Daily Beast, his blood boiled so much that, like, he couldn't. He's like, I lost all, like, control of my sensibilities. Fuck you. You're a lawyer. That's your goddamn job, motherfucker. Especially if you're going to be representing somebody that has, like, so much freaking baggage and nonsense behind them. Come on, dude. What kind of world do we live in? You think that's no. You meant every word that you said. And now that you look like a mouth-breathing moron and everybody's like, dude, you are the fucking poster child of dickhead right now. And so now it comes back. As an attorney, husband, and father, there are many injustices that offend me, but nothing more than the charges of rape or racism. Unless you're married to you, apparently, because apparently your wife, according to you, should just submit to you at any moment. Maybe you should have just married a duger, because that's what they think. They're all down for it. They're like, nope, you want some sexy times? I'm just going to give it to you right now, no matter what I feel, no matter what I'm going through, no matter how I've, like, have positioned myself into this situation. It doesn't matter. So, You can't say one thing and then try to take it back, say, like, nothing offends me more. Because obviously, people who rape their spouses do not offend you because you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. That's the thing. And then he goes, they hit me at my core. No, what hit you at your core was somebody was fucking dead on and about to expose your fucking boss's bullshit that you were supposed to have already covered up, and then you made it worse. Rarely am I surprised by the press, but the gall of this particular reporter to make such a reprehensible and false allegation against Mr. Trump truly stunned me. The allegation is in the frickin' biography book that has been there for over 20 years, asshole. So how is he, like, making up a reprehensible and false allegation against Mr. Trump to truly stun you when it's in a book that's been there all along? So why weren't you stunned back in 1993? Why weren't you stunned a year later when maybe you read it? Why weren't you stunned when you found out about it last year, whenever that might have been? No, you were stunned when you were fucking busted, when you were stone cold busted and you lost your ever loving mind and became the poster child for dickhead, douchebag, nozzle extraordinaire. And then now you want to be like, rape and racism are the worst crimes ever. I call bullshit. I don't believe a fucking word out of your mouth. I think you are just making this shit up because you are the most disingenuous person ever. And you are yet another example of somebody who can dish it out but can't mother trucking take it. So now you're all butthurt to the point that your asshole is so prolapsed that it's hanging on the ground behind you and dragging in the dirt everywhere you go because you got busted and showed exactly who you are, exactly what you think of women, exactly what you think of the legal system, and exactly what you think with somebody who's out there doing their job at a paper who is only, they were trying to get your side of it, and then you turn it into this. So that's what you do. Then he goes on, he goes, what did he say? Rarely am I surprised by the press, but the gall of this particular reporter to make such a reprehensible and false allegation against Mr. Trump truly stunned me. What about the dude, Harry, what's his name? Let me roll up. Talking. Harry Hunt III, he originally wrote it. What about him, asshole? In my moment of shock and anger, I made an inarticulate comment. That was not inarticulate, actually. You pretty much articulated exactly how you feel, which I do not believe. If you did not believe it then why come you said it? Huh? You believed it. You're just like Hulk Hogan, who we're going to get to in a minute. No, you meant it when you said it, and then now that you got freaking blasted in the media, you're like, that's not what I truly believe. And he goes, and which I apologize for entirely. Okay, good. You apologize. But the thing is, your apology is disingenuous. You're a fucking asshole, and I hope that you just get made complete and utter fun of to the point where you just have to hang your head in shame. And anytime anybody sees, because if I knew you and saw you walking down the street, I'd be like, yo, hey, dude. Rape dude, that's what I'd say, like, dude who thinks spousal rape is okay. It's like marriage. It's like, it's not gay marriage, it's not straight marriage, it's just marriage. It's two people getting married regardless of who they are. Just get that. It's not spousal rape, it's rape. It's not marital rape, it's rape. It's like all these things just kills me. Just people just want to apply some word to it, so whatever. Donald Trump's lawyer ain't looking too good in the media, this Michael Cohen fella. So everybody get a big old giant middle finger to this dude who thinks it's okay to rape your spouse, because I do not believe his apology. I think his apology is complete and utter bullshit, that Donald Trump was like, dude, you better go fix this and fix this quick, because I'm the only one out here supposed to be able to call anybody rapist. Okay. That's just how that shit goes down. Whatever. Well, while we were talking about these things, I'm going to move on, because this is making me angry now when I read it. I just hate these people and this fucking entitled attitude that they have, self-entitled, which is, makes it even worse, and this condition out but can't take itness. I hate that. That's really and truly the most ugly quality I think anybody can have. Like, either don't dish it out or take it. You got to, like, because I do. I give people shit all the time. If I got so butthurt every time somebody turned something around on me, I would be the saddest, most miserable person ever, walking around like Michael Cohen, running my mouth like this, thinking I can get away with it because I'm some fancy lawyer working for Donald Trump. And then all of a sudden the media is like, you're a dick. You are actually the largest dick and the douche nozzle of all douche nozzles to be douche nozzle-fied. So just shut the fuck up. shut the fuck up. I'm just saying is all. Whatever. Your sad ass apology. Who mother trucking cares, right? Oh, also, like, wait a minute. There's one other thing about this. See if I can find it real quick. Oh, okay. Here it goes. So apparently this woman, her name's Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She was calling out this Cohen dude's comments as a new low. She works for the Democratic National Committee. And she basically said, and this was, I think this came out before his apology too. And of course, all of his children are supporting, which is the other ugly. It's like, I just, whatever. I guess if I was his kid, I'd try to support him too, because that meant money. But whatever. So she goes on. She goes, rape is rape. Full stop. End of story. Exactly. I'm going to tell y'all what. Do any of y'all hate a fucking All Play video on the websites as much as I do? I fucking hate it. If I want to watch your video, I will click play. But I don't want to sit here and be reading something and then get scared out of my hide by your freaking nonsense that starts playing out of here because nobody can design a fucking website where anything plays right away anyway. It takes like 30 seconds before it kind of loads up or anything. So you're reading along and you scroll down so you can't even see the video anymore. And then all of a sudden it goes off, scares you out of your fucking skin. I might be a little bit jumpy, but fuck these people. I hate that. I've even tried to set these stupid web browsers to not do it, and somehow these fuckers have found a way around it, and now it's like they still autoplay anyway. Like, a few of them don't, but the bulk of them do. And I respect people like Michael K. over at The Delisted, one of the best snarky gossip websites ever on the interwebs. But if those things happen for the things he links to, he actually has to click on something so you can then go to the whole story that he wrote. And one of the reasons he does that is because if it's got an autoplay video, he don't want that shit autoplaying on you. Also, what if you're at the workplace trying to have a quick minute of just look at something and not be bothered and take a quick break, and then these videos go off and like let everybody know what you're up to? Quit outing people. Damn it. Hate those. I rage on it all the time. It drives me nuts. But this woman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, talking about this idiot boy Cohen statements, right? She's like, rape is rape, full stop, end of story. Completely agree with her. There is no difference or division between forcible, legitimate, marital, or any other label Republicans slap on before the word rape. All rape is a disgusting violation, and Americans have fought too long and hard for that to be acknowledged to still have it questioned in 2015. It's a pattern of outrageous comments that must stop, and Republicans should call it what it is, despicable. But have I heard one Republican come out and say anything about it being despicable? No. All I've heard is Sarah Palin come out and try to compare the Confederate flag to Planned Parenthood for the amount of African Americans that one or the other has killed, which is just, the comparison is beyond anything I can comment on. If I started commenting on that, but it's like, that's the only thing you hear. It just drives me completely and utterly insane. So, fuck you, Michael Cohen, and fuck you, Donald Trump, because Donald Trump should have been the first one to come out behind it and say, like, I don't support anything this guy said. But no, I don't hear him saying anything. He's just going off punkin' head with a mangy fox on it, blowhard bullying people around still. Can't believe so many people listen to him. But yeah, so that's who we've got working for us today. Trying to be our president. That's the thing that kills me. If this dude becomes president, I want to say I'd move away, but I don't think I would, because the fucking shit show would just be too. I'd have so much fodder. I'd have at least 4 years, and I tend to think it would only be 4 years. It'd be like the Bush senior years, you know, like only four of them. But fuck, whatever. Blah blah blah. Moving on. So, our other embattled friend here, Mr. Hulk Hogan, who got busted saying a bunch of stuff on a sexy tape that he probably shouldn't have been saying when he thought he was alone. Like, I mean, it's kind of, okay, in one hand, I think it's kind of shitty that this came out and it's done. But on the other hand, you said it. You said it, and now you're coming back. Like, and the thing is, he's like, okay, basically what happened. So he said the N-word comments where he's like, fucking N-word about the guy that his daughter was dating, all of that kind of stuff, and he was just going on his rant about all of that bullshit, right? Well, come to find out, also in this videotape, he basically is like throwing around the fag word and like other stuff, sort of derogatory. He made a comment about VH1 wanted me to do a big thing and go back to the house I grew up in Port Tampa, Florida. So we knock on the door and a big fag lives there now. This half gay was enamored with Linda. I don't know how you call somebody a big fag and then a half gay in one sentence. So that's what I don't understand. I don't understand his meaning. And he did come out saying he's had a ton, like, because Linda apparently at one point accused him of having a homo relationship. And he came out saying, like, well, I got tons of gay friends. It's the same. I hate that argument. I got lots of gay friends. So what? I do not use the argument, I got a lot of black friends, when, like, if I said something derogatory towards black people, I would just be like, you know what, I probably shouldn't have said that. Sorry, y'all. And then I would hope people would forgive me and move on. But when you try to, like, do this blame game, that's what I don't get. It's like all this blah, blah, blah. But he did try to take credit for it. But now, he so he says this, now people are jumping on him about this too. And but the thing that kills me, okay, this is the thing, and I've said this shit too before. So now he's on this whole Twitter thing where he's like retweeting any kind of support he gets from somebody, all that kind of stuff. So he tweeted this, and these are the ones that drive me completely insane. I don't get this stuff. He, like, they tweet these things about God and how it's supposed to, like, but basically, let me just get to the point, right? Let me get right to the freaking point right here on the Hollywood Hick program, here on the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com, right? Okay, so he puts up a tweet that says, "Keep your head up. God gives his hardest battles to his strongest soldiers," like one of those meme pictures, right? I take issue with this shit every time I see these kind of things. Like, you did something bad. God gives his hardest battles to his strongest soldiers. How about God is telling you to shut up? God is saying, like, dude, you're running your mouth too much. I'm going to let this come out. Like, if we're going to go through this, God controls all these things, right? Then he's basically, to me, what he is saying is, dude, I had to put this out there because otherwise you wasn't going to shut up. So the only way I could get you to shut up. And you know what? It didn't work because these people are two freaking egomaniac assholes that they can't figure out that they're being told to shut up. It's time to hush. You gave your apology. Now just hush. But it's like, he goes all these tweets, which are poorly constructed. Tweets and me have a love-hate relationship because I look at these things, just it's why children can't write anymore. Like, you look at things that young people write these days, it's like all full of like abbreviations that make no sense and all kind of random misspellings and punctuation for hell, and nobody uses a capital letter. It drives me crazy. But his use of commas is the, like, more than I can wrap my brain around. Like, I'm looking at this thing right now. There's so many commas with no spaces around. Like, and that's another thing is people use weird. They're trying to save a character on this Twitter nonsense. Like, Twitter, we live in an age where 140 characters should be a lot more. Like, we should be able to use a lot more than 140 mother trucking characters, okay? The world we live in should allow for more than 140 characters. Because personally, the Hollywood Hick here has a hard time tweeting. Because I'll write a tweet and then I look down and it'll be 78 characters too long. And I ain't even put a motherfucking hashtag on that shit yet, okay? Drives me nuts. But here with, I'll see if I can get through some of these better ones without, like, wanting to, like, smack a bitch with the horrible punctuation and just stupidness. But he goes, "This is how I feel today with friends, family, and the greatest fans in the world. Maniacs that never left me. Only love. HH. The whatever. I can't believe I can read this." But he's like, and then he's like, goes on, this, "Unless you went through this, true love, loyalty, and love has a different meaning. It makes you want to live and not die. For those that never left me, I am forever grateful and love you with all my heart, life." Heart life. What is all my heart life? I'm going to read it like it's punctuated. "With all my heart life, only love for you, HH." Like, what is that? Okay, whatever. He's got fans. They're standing beside him. I get it. And you know what? He may not be a horrible, bad person, but I don't know. I just think people who throw shit around cavalier like that have, like, there's a little bit of truth behind it. And he may be a good person and all of that stuff, and he probably is a relatively good person, but you get a little too big for your britches sometimes, and then the next thing you know, your buddy's security footage is going to catch you fucking his wife, and it's going to end up at Gawker, and the next thing you know, you got a world of trouble outside of that $100 million lawsuit you got going on with Gawker because they put up your sexy tape, which I unfortunately looked at a little bit of, and I am forever scarred, because nobody should have to see that video, because Hulk Hogan naked is nothing you ever want to see. Even if it's black and white and grainy, you know that is nothing you ever want to have to see. And the just it was untoward and gross. So Hulk Hogan, do us all a favor, would you, buddy? Shut the fuck up for 3 minutes, okay? Just shut up. Sit down, let this thing run through, and maybe people will freaking forget about it. But yes, it was 8 years ago. But you know what? Paula Deen's shit was a long fucking time ago, too. And look what happened to her ass. She's actually coming back on the flip side a little bit. So maybe you should take a lesson from Miss Paula Deen to shut the fuck up for a hot minute, let things calm down, and then come back with a different attitude and approach. I'm just saying is all. Okay? Okay. Let's move on, because all these people are pissing me off. And, you know, I was going to talk about, because I don't know if y'all saw a good move on, but that cover of the New York Magazine came out that has 35 of the Cosby accusers on there, basically telling their stories in there. So I love it. It's 35 ladies and then one empty chair for all of the ones that either didn't want to come forward and be part of it, or all the ones who have still yet to come forward. Because according to all of the ladies, that many of the ladies that were interviewed for it, that they've talked to a lot of people, and there's still quite a number who just don't want to come forward because they've moved on for whatever reason. They personally, they don't want to do it. And I think that's a personal thing. They should be allowed to come forward or not. That's their call. Just like I don't think anybody should be drugged out of the closet unless they're doing something to hurt the cause, like a politician who's voting against gay rights, those kind of things like that. But those people should be definitely dragged kicking and screaming out. But if these ladies, if they don't want to come out, I don't think they have to. I'm still following that case, which I haven't heard much more about, where Gloria Allred has that girl who got when she was 15 at the Playboy Mansion. I can't remember her name right now, but whatever. She's not on this. I don't remember seeing her on this group because I read the thing yesterday. But there's like one of these, and I'm just going to read one because then I got to start talking about people who make me feel better about myself, or else I am going to implode from all of the horrible people who are dominating the news right now, right? But this woman, her name's Heidi Thomas, and she was, I'm assuming she was a young actress at the time. And her testimony here is the only one I'm going to read. And I highly encourage reading this article. I'll post it on the Facebook page, on the Hollywood Hick page. So facebook.com/TheHollywoodHick. Look on there. I'll post this thing on there so y'all can find it easy if you want. Or you can just put New York Magazine Cosby and it fucking shit pulls right up on a Google search. That's how I got to it right now to read this shit. All right. But this woman, she says, my agent said we've been contacted by a really, really big person in the entertainment industry who's interested in mentoring promising young talent. I find out it's Bill Cosby. I have the understanding I was going to be receiving private acting coaching from him. This was the opportunity of a lifetime. A driver would pick me up. My agent was paying for it. That made it all very, very professional. The door opens and there stands Cosby. He's in his sweats and very casual, very friendly. I had a monologue prepared. He seemed unimpressed. He said, let's try a cold read. So he pulls out a script. The scene was set in a bar. The character was someone who was inebriated. He poured a glass of white wine. He said, use this as a prop. Now that means you're going to have to sip on it, of course. I really don't remember much except waking up in his bedroom. He was naked and he was forcing himself into my mouth. That is disgusting. Disgusting. A comatose woman who does not know what's going on, and you are forcing yourself into her mouth when she comes to it. Like this poor woman, Heidi Thomas, scarred forever because of this. Scarred forever. Thanks, Cosby. So those are the kind of stories you're hearing. Like, I don't want to read them because it just will upset me. Y'all have heard how upset I get over this whole thing. I have been like calling his ass out from the get-go, because as soon as that Hannibal Buress stuff came out, I was like, I believed it back in 2005. Oh, this one other thing though. Oh, I do got to tell y'all one more thing about the Cosby, and I got to find it. So hold, please, while I find it, because this is the thing that kills me. Because, you know, he says in his in one of his things, he said, I'm very good at reading sexual cues and like women's sexual, like, oh yeah, he said he's very good at reading sexual cues. That's what it is. He's very good at reading sexual cues. Well, apparently he is not as good as he purports to be, because the chick, Andrea Constant, who sued him, is the one he settled with, who had the other 12 ladies who were backing her up, is gay. So if you're so good at reading sexual cues, how come you couldn't tell this chick had a girlfriend and she'd rather freaking munch on pussy than suck your dick? Do you not get it, you mouth-breathing moron? So you're going to come out and tell us that you have amazing ability to read people's sexual cues, and yet you can't read the cues that the chick that you're trying to have sexy times with might be gay if you're so freaking in tune to sexual cues? You're a lying son of a bitch. And yet another liar, McLiar Pants lie to come out of the Cosby. But that one made me laugh. It's like, he's like, I can read sexual cues better than anybody in the history of ever. And I had no clue that the lady I wanted most at that moment was a lesbian who had a girlfriend and didn't want nothing to do with me. So I had to drug her and then do what I do and then get sued for it and then put a big old confidentiality agreement in there so that nobody can ever find out what happened until you find out that you didn't do as good a job as you thought and everybody found out what had happened. So no, I don't believe you. Fuck you, Cosby. I'm out. So blah, blah, blah. That was a funny part about Cosby. But let's look at some of these other people around. We got a little time left here on the Hollywood Hick program today. And But oh, did y'all see this story? I just saw it this morning. Like, I don't understand these people. It makes me feel so much better about myself because I am not this kind of fucking asshole. Now, I could be the kind of asshole who'll call you out on your bullshit occasionally and say, yo, dude, you're being an asshole, because apparently that makes me an asshole. We talked about that at the top of the show, right? But there's this dude. His name is Walter Palmer. He's a dentist, and I love it on the Jezebel website. He's a dentist and all-around piece of shit from Minnesota. Is said to have paid $55,000 to kill a beloved 13-year-old Zimbabwean lion nicknamed Cecil, who had been wearing a collar as part of a long-running Oxford University research project. Yeah, so this dude is horrible. So basically what happened, he goes over to Africa. And basically, since the animals cannot legally be killed within the confines of the Hwange National Park, where Cecil lived with his pride, he was lured out of in the middle of the night by Palmer and professional hunter Theo Bronkhorst, who later reported the incident. Bronkhorst implied that the essential mistake made was that we did not know it was a well-known lion. Palmer shot Cecil, pictured him, like, then took a freaking one of those pictures where they're like posing with their prey. It's like horrible. It's horrible. With a bow and arrow, finished the job 40 hours later with a gun. The hunters attempted to remove the lion's collar, and he was left skinned and headless outside the park. These are the worst, awfulest people ever. I can't wrap my brain around this beautiful, majestic animal that ain't hurt anybody in a freaking national park. And this freaking self-entitled son of a bitch from Minnesota thinks it is his God-given right, I guarantee you, to go over and like shoot this thing up. And it's like, but now it's going to, apparently it's going to basically his cubs will likely die too when Jericho, Cecil's successor, takes his place as the head of the pride. So yeah, so then this, like, so it's going to set off a chain reaction of like natural order, that this was not natural. And apparently bow and arrow hunting is on the rise in Zimbabwe. This is where it went on. It's silent, and therefore those hunting illegally or unethically are not detected by the authorities. So that's what they're doing. Brr. So apparently Theo Bronkhorst is a professional hunter with Bushman Safaris, is facing criminal charges for allegedly killing a collared lion on Antoinette Farm in Gwayi Conservancy, Hwange District, on July 1st, 2015. He never bothered anybody, according to the people there. This is Cecil we're talking about, the lion who got murdered. It's murder, as far as I'm concerned. He was one of the most beautiful animals to look at. He was an easy target because he was relatively friendly. But this is the thing that grosses me out. How they did this. Like, they basically, what they did is they lured him out in the night by putting a dead animal and spraying stuff in the air that attracts the lions outside of the park, so that when the lion got outside of the boundaries of the park, they were like, oh, he wandered out. He only wandered out to come eat the freaking bait that you're hanging in front of his face because he's a lion, and that's what they do. Ugh. Bubble. It's so hard. And this dude is so horrible. He's like, he can't figure out why people are upset. He says, as far as I understand, this is from his lawyer, I'm sure, a spokesman for Palmer, asshole dude. He says, as far as I understand, Walter believes that he might have shot that lion that has been referred to as Cecil. Bullshit. He knew exactly what he was doing. What he'll tell you is that he had the proper legal permits and he had hired several professional guides, so he's not denying that he may be the person who shot this lion. He's a big game hunter. He hunts the world over. This dude is horrible. Why am I talking about so many horrible people today? Whatever. Basically, this dude is horrible. Everybody, people have jumped on this story. Like, his like Yelp thing. He had to take down his website, I think, and his Facebook page, and his Yelp thing is just going nuts with people like giving one-star reviews and saying awful, horrible, hateful things to this dude, which he is completely deserving of, as far as I'm concerned. But apparently in 2009 he got in trouble because, as the season kept, Palmer was completing a year of probation. In 2008, court records show he pleaded guilty to making a false statement to federal wildlife officials concerning the exact location of slaying a black bear during a guided hunt in Wisconsin. See, he's done this shit before. He knows what he's freaking up to. I hate these dudes. I hate people like this. So whatever. I hope everybody out there shames to the death this Walter Palmer DDS out of freaking Minnesota and just makes him have to freaking live a life of just freaking scorn. And like, please, people, just inundate him with all kind of just give him a dose of his own medicine, is what I'm saying. Because you can't, if you want to be this horrible person, fine. Then you know what? It has repercussions. It's like people always want to say, well, it was my First Amendment right to say that. Yeah. And you know, it's my First Amendment right to tell you you're a dickhead for saying it. It's how it works. Doesn't mean it doesn't have consequences. It just means you got choices and you made a bad one, mother trucker. So that's what this, that dude's just been, that story just pissed a hick all kind of off, right? But in an effort to find something more, oh, this is funny. If you want to feel better about yourself, you are not this dude, y'all. Let's finish up today. We got a few minutes left here with a couple of stories about people who will make you feel all kind of better about yourself. Well, I mean, you should feel better that you ain't a mouth-breathing moron like Trump's lawyer who goes on a freaking rant where he calls spousal rape not rape because you should just be able to have your wife whenever you want. Become a duger. If that's what you want, become a duger. One of them, one of the quiverful people. Then be a quiverful because your lady is goes into that relationship knowing that she's going to have to spread it whenever you want it, regardless of whatever she's feeling, whatever she's going through, whatever kind of day she might have, however, like health problems, any of that kind of stuff. So fuck you, dude. But apparently, a New York man was arrested on Friday after allegedly driving around an ice cream truck in his underpants while intoxicated and yelling at the children. Yep. According to the Erie County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to the scene after receiving complaints of an ice cream driver screaming at people while scantily clothed. I like that word, scantily. Police said they arrived to find Ryan Duff, a 24-year-old man wearing only his underpants. A police investigation led officers to believe he was under the influence, so they arrested him and brought him in for drug testing. Although Duff refused testing, police said a drug recognition expert decided he was impaired by drugs, so the police reportedly charged Duff with DUI and other offenses before releasing him to a sober driver. So, yeah, so you are not a mouth-breathing moron who got wasted in his underpants and then went on to do his job selling ice cream to children out of a truck. That... I'm surprised people are not more up in arms because you know how mamas get about that stuff. If they found out that a drunk man in his underpants was driving a truck that draws children, I'm surprised there's more women who are not losing their minds. So y'all be glad you are not one Ryan Duff 24 of somewhere in New York because he likes to get fucked up and drive an ice cream truck around in his underpants. That's pretty freaking funny as far as I'm concerned. It's pretty freaking funny. All right, what was another one of these? I saved like two or three of these stories so that I can remember what I was talking about, but apparently I went too far. I got back the fuck up, right? This is a question I'm proposing, y'all. And if I'm wrong on any of this, please, like, holler at me on the Twitters at the H Wood Hick or holler at me on the Facebook page. Maybe I'll post this on there too, because I just have questions on this, right? Okay, and this is from across the pond. This isn't here in the States, but it's across the pond. There's a woman who almost died from eating a cupcake that had no allergy warning on it. She bought it at a little bakery. Apparently, it had like she's got a nut allergy and there was like cashew cream in the icing part of the cake. And there wasn't like a thing on allergies, like saying like, ask us about allergies. I guess that's the law over there. Like, make sure you ask us about allergies. There has to be a sign because there's no personal responsibility. And that's what I want to get to. Okay. So I feel bad for this woman. She almost passed away. According to this, I'm going to try to tell you the brief version. But basically, she did not have her EpiPen with her, which if you have a major allergy to something, wouldn't you carry that EpiPen with you? Also, isn't there a certain level of personal responsibility that we all should have for ourselves, right? If you know you got a major nut allergy, because I have been around mothers with children who have this nut allergy, and they are militant about asking, even when there's no sign, they still ask, are you sure there ain't no nuts in there? Because I don't want to go to the emergency room, all that kind of stuff. So this chick didn't ask. She just ate anything. And then she felt everything cinching up on her, and her thing was to go home and then call rescue, right? Why wouldn't you just call rescue right then? Like over there, it's 999 and not 911, which I think makes way more sense than 911 because you just got punched the same number three times. Whatever, neither here nor there. But isn't there a certain level of personal responsibility? You should have had your EpiPen. You should have asked the question if you were so deathly allergic and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know. But apparently the cafe owner actually feels bad and wants to compensate them or whatever and says that they will put up a sign and all of that kind of stuff. But like just the my question is, is there a level of personal responsibility that this chick should have had used to avoid this situation? Or is it solely the fault of the bakery? Now, I feel like she has a certain level of culpability in this too. Maybe they should have put the sign up. But in the world we live in, I don't know. If I had a severe nut allergy, I would be all over that shit all the time going like, is this got nuts in it? And then make them go find out if they don't know. Because when I worked in a restaurant, people used to do that stuff to me all the time. Like I remember one woman one time, she came in, she's like, do you use canola oil? Because she had a canola oil allergy, right? We went and asked. They said no. We brought the food out. the cook lied to us. This woman went into like her allergic reaction fit. I felt so bad, but I had legitimately asked a question. The cook just was like, nah, it's not canola oil. He just like dismissed it. I think he ended up getting fired too for doing that bullshit. But this poor woman, like, we had to have the ambulance come, all kind of shit. It was nuts. It was completely nuts. Well, and fuck, that about does it for the Hollywood Hick today, y'all. I just ran out of time. I had other couple of things I was going to tell y'all about, like Robin Thicke being a like dirty McDirty pants at a restaurant in New York somewhere. No, something else I was going to talk about too, but Lord knows it don't matter because I done run out of time. Oh, it was a story about a dude whose barbecue smoke crossed across his property line, and apparently he got in trouble for his barbecue smell going into his neighbor's yard, which is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my entire life. And that is Florida. So go figure. Florida can't handle barbecue smells like so many other things. But beyond that, that does it for the Hollywood Hick. Y'all hope everybody has a good one. Stay out of trouble. Listen to all the fabulous programming here on the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com. Follow me on the Twitters at the H Wood Hick. Follow the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheHollywoodHick. And yeah, that does it, y'all. Everybody stay good, be out of trouble, and I will talk to y'all soon. Doodle lamb, doo, mother truckers. Bye. Boo lamb, boo lamb, boo lamb, boo lamb, boo. Doodle lamb, doo lamb, doo lamb, doo lamb, doo. Greg Lang, Greg Lang, Greg Lang, Greg Lang.